Wasted time. We were in the Bible lesson this morning discussing, will a man rob God? And we discovered some things. First of all, theft and robbery are two different things. Robbery is something that God holds in deep contention. And why is that? Because robbery is something that's thought out. Robbery is something that you put some effort to. We were talking about the love of money. And with the love of money, money is just a thing. Can't do nothing. If you lay it on the table, there it is. But if I take this book and then I slap somebody with it, now I've done something wrong. I've done something with the inanimate object. So the love, the money itself is not evil. It's what the intention was with the money. The intention with the inanimate object. The intention that we have with all the things that we are stewards over. And that's what we want to understand today, that we are good stewards. That we should be good stewards with the things that God has provided us. And with the things that God has provided us to make our lives comfortable, to make our lives manageable, to make things for us well, we are supposed to manage those things righteously. So we want to establish that stewardship is for those who have accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. It is a simple discipline for those on a journey of discipleship. When we understand that we are supposed to come into a situation knowing that these things do not belong to us, that we are only managing them, we're moving our minds from carnality into spirituality. We are understanding that God has given us everything, and we owe God everything. So, stewardship is a practical act of our worship. It's part of how we worship God, how we manage those things. Time represents a very important focal point of stewardship. Time is irreplaceable. You can't go back. Amen, somebody. I know we wish we could. I always tell my wife, I wish I knew what I knew at 20, the things that I know now. I wish I knew better. I would have done better. I was telling the class this morning, I spent $10,000 on rims. The car cost $6,000. If I'd have had better sense back then, you think I would have bought $10,000 rims? I'd have put $10,000 into a business or something that was going to further my life, help my children. But no, me with my crazy self, I bought $10,000 rims. But see, God has afforded me the ability and the time to be able to gain enough wisdom to know that these things that I have done in my life, foolish as they may have been, there is wisdom to be gained from things like that. One, not to buy $10,000 rims. They don't do nothing to tear up your car. Amen. That's all they do. They just tear up your car. I told them I had a $4,000 radio system in my car. Now I got hearing problems because of the radio. See, now wisdom has shown me that you don't need all that noise in your car. Most of the time when I'm riding, I don't even have the radio on. All I hear is the GPS. Because wisdom has afforded me the opportunity and time to see that these things were foolish. And now because I know better, I can do better. Amen. That's what I've done with my time. That's what all Christians who are managing their time, being good stewards, should learn from their folly. Amen. And all of us have made mistakes. We have. But the problem comes in when we don't learn from the mistake. We begin wasting time. And time is precious. So what is stewardship? Stewardship is the spiritual discipline that every believer should practice to practically live out their faith in Jesus Christ. It is a bedrock of our worship and our faith. Stewardship is understanding that nothing that we have belongs to us. Amen. Nothing. Not your house, not your money. One, it's not your house, and one, it's not your money. It does not belong to you. And time does not belong to you. You've been afforded a good long life. The Bible said we were promised, 4 score and 3?
I've actually forgotten what that calculation is, but if you're able to live beyond that, every year beyond that is a blessing. Amen. Every year beyond that is a blessing, but every year before that is still a blessing, because God could have taken us home a long time ago. But again, he's afforded us the ability to be able to learn from our mistakes and move forward in life and gain wisdom. Do we pray for wisdom? I do. I pray for wisdom every day because I need to have enough wisdom for me, my family, my congregation, the congregation of which I serve. I need to be able to lead these things properly, righteously. And I'm trying to be a good manager or a steward of my time. Everything that we own belongs to God. We are simply managers of this thing, these things. And we have to understand that it's his house, it's his car, it's his church, this is his family. These are his people, and it's his time. All of it belongs to him. When we get that through our thick head, we'll begin to understand how precious time is. Because death is immediate. And it ain't always when we want it. Everybody wants to be in a situation where they can afford death, to be able to die peacefully in our homes and our beds surrounded by our family, but it don't always work out like that. It doesn't always go that way. Sometimes people have died in horrendous ways. I want to say it for real so that you can understand. I'm not trying to sugarcoat anything because you don't control your end. The only thing that you know about your end is that it is appointed unto men what? Wants to die. All you know is death is coming. We have to be ready. So what are we understanding here? There are two foundational points on stewardship that we have to keep in mind as we go through this lesson. First of all, God is the owner of everything that we have. He owns us. He owns everything we have. We are the caretakers and managers of his thing. But two, stewardship is a matter of priority and trust in God. Is it our priority to manage these things well? I don't know. As I look out into the world, we're looking at the ways that we spend money. Who all have seen on the news that building called Notre Dame over in France? You know, it got destroyed by fire. And they're doing this big reconstruction on it. $550 million to rebuild a worldly structure. Now, 45% of it is coming from where? The United States of America. 45% of $500 million. Why is that important? Because that money could be used right here. There are people in our streets right now that don't have anything. I just saw on the news at Brother and Sister Montgomery's house, they took this area where these homeless people had these homeless shelters that were put up, and then they swept all of their homeless shelters out the way because they were unsightly and unsanitary. Well, make them sightly. Make them sanitary. Use the money for that. Why are we sending money across the way over to another country and it's not helping the people right here? That's not being a good steward of the things that we've been given. I told them today, taxes are necessary. Somebody say amen. Amen. Taxes necessary. I know we don't like them. You all probably doing better than me. I still have to pay. I still have to pay. But I showed them biblically that tax is a biblical principle if utilized properly. It's supposed to go to help those who are without. We who have are supposed to help those that have not. We are supposed to help them. And that's because Jesus said, so the poor will be with us always. And the money that we have, the resources that we have, the time that we have, is supposed to go to those that don't have it. And we don't utilize our time properly. If we give money, we think we've done enough. If we write a check, we think we've done enough. But if we are not out here doing this, how do we show people God if we don't get out here and show people God? They can only see God in the activity that we provide. God ain't in a check. God ain't in the money that you hand out to. God ain't even in the clothes and the food that you pass out to them. God is in sin that they see you doing it with a cheerful face. Some people go out and volunteer mad that they're there. Sometimes I come in on Saturday, we have people that go out door knocking. And you got people in the door knocking class mad. I'm like, why are you here? Is you being made to be here? God likes when you do things what? Cheerfully. Because that's how you show God, show people God that don't have it. Without ever giving somebody a scripture, if you go and do the things that God has commanded us to do, and you do it cheerfully, they will see God in your face. And they'll know what you are long before you tell them. I'm always happy to go and serve God. Now, is Elder happy to be walking around in this hot desert? No. But I ain't going to stand there and be mad. I'm going to drink my water like everybody else, and I'm going to go knock on the door. And I'm going to ask somebody, do you want to know who Jesus is? And I'm going to be happy because if somebody answers me yes, then I've done my job. I'm managing my time well. And it's a matter of priority. Is it important to you? Is it important to us that we do what God has asked us to do? Does it look like it's important to these young people? I don't know. Sometime. I got a young man up here in North Las Vegas, 21, 22, with me. And that young man amazes me because he's at worship all the time. He's at every Bible class. He's teaching Vacation Bible School. When I was 22, I was not doing none of that and been in the church all my life. But that young man is not indicative of the world we see. It's not priority. And not only is it not priority, these young folks, some of these old folks, it ain't priority too either. We're not grateful for the gift that God has given us. And what is that? A life that is a possibility of life eternal. If we live this life well, we can go to heaven. We can go home.
Amen.
If we live well. If we live badly, if we live contrary to the scripture, then there's another place that's waiting on us too, and it's a little bit hotter. You think this desert hot? What does the Bible say? The Bible says this, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 through 34. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 through 34. While you're turning over, I'm just letting you know that we are in a constant battle of desire for power and control of our lives. Either God controls your life or the devil controls your life. One or the other. It's never going to be two. You can't serve two masters. Why is this important? Because While this battle is going on over our future, and we are worrying too much about the things that we don't even have control over. And this is what the Bible says, Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 through 34. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles seek. See, only the Gentiles worry about stuff like that. Only worldly people worry about things that they don't have any control over. Only worldly people worry about things that don't matter. If I was telling the class this morning, you have never gone into Walmart and seen a bird pushing a cart. You've never seen that. Because God takes care of that. The bird wake up every day in his tree and know that if he fly down to the ground, something gonna be waiting on him. The bird knows that. Man is the only creature on this planet that think that he gotta take care of himself. And he is God's greatest creation. And if God's going to take care of the birds of the air and the fish of the sea and the animals of the land, grass don't even have to worry about itself. Even in the desert, this stuff, we could all get in my truck, I'll take y'all out, this stuff growing on the rocks. Because God take care of it. God is going to handle it. And we still up here trying to worry about what we going to eat today. Y'all probably asked that before I even got to preach. What we going to have for lunch? Whatever God provide. Amen. Whatever he provide. Be happy with it too. Mm-hmm. Amen, somebody. It's just me, Jesus. It's okay. The scripture says this, for your heavenly Father knows the things that you need. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all of these things will be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about its own self. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. What is the Bible saying? You ain't got to worry about tomorrow. You might not even make it. Worry about today. It's got enough trouble in it today. Amen. There's enough problem today that you got to deal with trying to figure out what's going to happen tomorrow, next week, next year, We worry about too many things that we don't have any control over. God has control over time. You don't. So what you worry about it for? Deal with whatever you got to deal with today. We don't utilize the time that God gave us. Once we make the necessary adjustments in our lives and put God first and trusting Him with the rest of it, God will become more alive to us as we experience Him firsthand in a very different way than before. That's how we know that we're moving up spiritually. When we can be like, it's a problem that come. Say it's a bill that come in your mail, and it's that red bill, that one, that pink one that you know that's about to turn off. And you up here worried about, oh my God, what's going to happen to me if I don't pay this thing? If you understand that God going to take care of it, if you live in righteously, God going to take care of it. What you saying, Brother Elder? I'm not supposed to pay my bills? Nope, because you can't come live with me. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that God is going to take care of you if you do things righteously. One, if you're managing your finances well, if you're managing your house well, you should never ever see that pink letter. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. If you're managing it well. Well, what about when it get tough, Brother Elder? It get tough. Life get tough. But you still shouldn't fall away, act out, lose your mind. You should still be under control and understand that God got it under control. God been here long before us. He'll be here after we go. And then all this is going to burn up anyway. What are we worried about it for? Let's utilize our time wisely. Let's not waste time. God will show himself to be God. And he'll show himself to be God to those that he provides for. Those that he provides for understand that everything that goes on in our life is controlled by him. We don't have to be afraid. It's too many people that are afraid of things that they can't control. Time is a precious thing. Once it is lost, it can never be recovered. That's the only thing you can't ever get back. If you've ever wasted time on something, don't you wish you could get that back? I've gone to see bad movies. Movie be 3 hours long. I went to see the Titanic, and that was like almost 4 hours long. I'm waiting the whole time for the boat to sink, because we all know what's going to happen. It ain't like a story we don't know. Why is this long story taking off? I'm waiting for the boat to sink. When is it going to sink? I kept asking my wife. I said, it ain't sink yet. We've been here 2 hours. Wish I could have got it all that time back, but you can't replace time. Time don't belong to you. Time belongs to God. Amen. Time is not for us to take for granted. So again, once it is lost, it cannot be recovered. And it's not one of us who knows how much time he has to get. You don't even know how much time you got. Yeah. In an age where it seems that seems to come at a higher premium with each passing day, it is now more important than ever for us to be good stewards of the time that God gives us. Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 19. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 19. I want you to get to 19, but I'm going to start at 14. For the kingdom of God, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country. And he called his own servants and delivered goods to them. And one of them, and he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, he gave, and to another he gave 2 talents, and to another he gave 1 talent, and one to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. And then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. Likewise, he who had received the 2 talents gained 2 more also. But he who had also received 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid the Lord's money. Verse 19. After a long time, the Lord of the servants came to settle the accounts with them. What am I saying right here? The Bible is saying that everything that he's given to you, one day he's going to come back and see what you did with it. Amen. What did you do with the things I gave you? And the Bible says that the man went away on a long journey. That means when Jesus left and went back to heaven, he promised that he would come back again. But in the meantime, you should have been trying to figure out what to do with the stuff that God gave you. Have you done well with it? Did you multiply it? And see, the Bible says that you're supposed to multiply it. Whatever he's given. And we're not just talking about money. What have you done with your time? Have you helped somebody? Have you talked to somebody? Have you brought somebody to Christ? Do you try to do this every day? Are you like the man that dug the hole and put the Lord's money in the ground? You took your talent, you took your things, and you didn't care what you did with them as long as they was going to be here for when God got back. But let me show you. Let me show you in the scripture what God did. The Bible says this in verse number 20. So he who had received the 5 talents and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You are faithful over few things. I shall make you ruler over many. Enter into the joy of your Lord. See, he who did well with the 5 talents and multiplied it was able to go home with his father. That's what you're supposed to do with the things that God gives you. You're supposed to do better than what you did, than what you had when you received it. The Bible says this. And his Lord said that, good and faithful servant, you've done well. I'm faithful over a few things. I shall make you rule over many things until the joy of your Lord. Verse number 22. He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered unto me 2 talents. And look, I've gained 2 more talents besides them. The Lord said, well, good and done, my faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I shall make you rule over many. Enter into the joy of your Lord. And then in verse 24, then he who had received 1 talent and said, Lord, I knew you would be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not gathered seed. I was afraid. So I went and hid your talent in the ground. And look, there you have what is yours. Listen to the bunch. He made a bunch of mistakes in his statement, didn't he? He said, first of all, you a hard man, God. He didn't praise God like the other two. The other two was like, God, look what I've done. They came to him with cheer. They came to him with gladness. They came to him under mercy. This man said, no, Jesus, I'm scared of what you did. I was scared of this money. I was scared of what I would do with it. So I had to get it away from me, and I put it in the ground. And look, Jesus, here it is. I ain't do nothing with it. I didn't do nothing that you expected me to do with the talent that you gave me, but here it is. And people, even today, still think that's good enough. That you have all this talent that you have, that you're able to speak well, that you're able to sing, that you're able to talk to somebody, that you're able to articulate the scriptures, but you don't do nothing like that. You don't do any of that stuff. You just sit on your talent and expect with a straight face to go to heaven. The Bible says this in verse number 26, but the Lord answered and said unto him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I would reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. The parable is trying to explain that you are required to do something with the things that God gave you, and you're required to be responsible with the things that God has given you. You are supposed to do better. You're not supposed to be in the same spot when Jesus showed back up. And some of us are in the same exact spot from when we got baptized to right now. What have you done with your talent? You've wasted time. The Bible says this. So take the talent away from him, give it to him who has 10 talents. See what happened right there? See, the person who wasted time got his talent took, And then the person who had done well with what God gave him got blessed even more. He got blessed even more. So if you do well with what God gives you, you'll even receive more blessing on top of that. But we are too afraid to move off of our talent, or we start to make excuses. I had a brother once tell me one time that he's retired from working in the church. He gonna let the young fellas have it. I said, you can't say that. Revelation chapter 2 verse 10 say, be faithful until death. So if you ain't dead, you can't retire. So these jobs want you to work like that. You'll work like that for the job, but you ain't gonna work like that for God. Where we at? Where they do this at? God should have more precedent than your job. You'll sit on your job 30, 40 years. Proud of it. I got a plaque. God said, I'm going to give you a mansion, a robe, and a crown. I'm going to give you more than a plaque. I'm going to let you walk on streets of gold. I'm going to let you look filled on walls of jasper, drink from milk and honey, and you want a plaque. So he said, take from him and give it to the man who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But for him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. That's your Bible. That's in your Bible. If you don't do nothing with your talent, God will take it away. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That sounds like hell to me. This is in your Bible. So when the scripture is being read and you understand that you don't have the affordability or the time to sit on your talent and not manage it well. Only you know what you've done with your life. I don't know. I keep telling people, I ain't that kind of preacher. I ain't going to come to your house and check on you. I ain't got the kind of time. I got stuff to do. Only you can answer this question. What have you done with your time? I gotta move because I know we're running out of time here. Time is always against us. See, there's another thief of time that plagues men, and that's slothfulness, laziness. We some lazy folk, and then the older we get, the lazier we get. Amen, somebody. I told you this ain't one of them amen sermons. I'm gonna get it out of you. But rightfully so. Age creates some problems. If you live long enough, you remember when you used to get out of bed, you used to hop out of bed, you'd be in, sit on the side of your bed, whoo, what the day got today? Not now, you sit there a little while, you be like, Lord Jesus, whoo, Jesus, today. And that's if you get out of bed. Some of y'all have made it to the point in life where you don't have to get up no more. I'm trying to get there, I ain't there yet. But I do know this, when I was 20, I jumped out of bed. At 47, I kind of skewed that bit. Age creates some issues, but again, if God says be faithful until death, then that's the command. Anything outside the command is robbery of God. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 14 through 16. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 14 through 16. The Bible says to avoid slothfulness, and the verse reads, as the door turns on its hinges, so does the lazy man on his bed. What the scripture saying? The scripture saying, just like the door go back and forth, turn this way and that way, that's how the lazy man is in his bed. He just turned one way to the other way. He ain't trying to do anything because he's comfortable in where he is. He don't want any motion in his life. The verse says the lazy man buries his hand in the bowl, and worries him to bring it back to his mouth. The lazy man don't even want to feed himself. Lazy man wants, I've been to restaurants and I'll look over and I'll see somebody cutting up a grown man steak. Be like his wife or something. And I'd be like, Shonda, can you? And then I just turn back around because then she give me that look because I know she ain't going to do it. She going to look at me like you a grown man, sir. But the lazy man, he wants somebody to do everything for him. And I know y'all know somebody like that. Some of y'all might have some kids like that. Some of y'all. Oh my God. We know people that I got a son like that. My son can't do nothing. 25. I told y'all he couldn't even pay his own bills. He thought we were supposed to pay his bills. I said, boy, you ain't gonna have nothing messing around with that thought in your mind. The Bible, but this is in your Bible. The Bible says he worries about bringing his hand to his mouth. He can't even feed himself. The Bible says this in verse number 16. The lazy man is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly. That means a fool, a lazy fool. He thinks that he's smarter than everybody in the room. And ain't done nothing. This is in your book. Laziness is a detriment to you being a good student. Amen. If you let yourself become too lazy, everything get real lazy real quick. House don't get cleaned up. Dishes don't get done. Bills don't. That's how you get them pink slips. I try to explain to my young men in my congregation. And this is in men's training, so I'm going to let the lady slide. But I tell my men, ain't nothing worse than a sorry man. God gave man a job. The man is to lead, the man is to provide, and the man is to follow God. Lead, provide, follow God. Follow God probably should be first. Lead and provide. I got men out here that think the woman's supposed to take care of him. Move in with her. Let her go to work. Drive her car. And these women put up with these men. Almost to the point where it's of detriment to us. And then we wonder why. Because this is the product that's being put out. This is the man that's now coming into the world. And now, this laziness, and I call it an epidemic, is of epidemic of massive proportion. Everywhere we turn, we can throw a rock, we're going to hit a sorry man. It used to not be that way. It used to be men took pride in being men. But see, some of the stuff that we ask for sometimes, you probably should think about it. Some will probably make some people mad. But when this Me Too movement came along, I can do everything a man can do. Men stop opening the door for women. Amen. They don't do that no more. You can open your own door. That's what you told me. Then you go out to the car. He walked to his side. She walked to her side. Used to be. Men opened the door for the woman. But no, you told me you could do it. I can do anything a man can do. So that's what happened. Men forgot that they were men and that they had a job to do. And now they all happened to let the woman do everything. And now the woman complained. What happened to chivalry? It's dead. And you killed her. I'll be at the front door. Come see me about it. I ain't going to take it back. But I teach my young men. That's still your job. I am for all equality in the workplace. I think everybody doing the same job should make the same thing. But I still believe that women have a job and men have a job. And a man is supposed to do his job. I believe in that. I believe in that because that's what the scripture told me. Husband, love your wife. Even as Christ loved the church. That's what I believe. And if Christ loved the church enough to die for it, do these men still love their women enough to die for them, to care for them, to take care of them, to open the door for them? Do they care anymore? It's hard to see it. We live in a world where we're wasting our time and our talent. Proverbs 20, verse number 4, and then we're going to get out of here. Proverbs 20 and verse number 4. Well, I might have to do one more, and then I'm going to get out of here. Proverbs 20 and verse number 4. The lazy man will not plow because of winter. He will beg during the harvest and have nothing. What is the Bible saying? The lazy man don't want to work to eat. He don't want to work to feed himself. He would rather beg from you and get your stuff. Because that's the easy way. He'd rather ask those that's working. That's why sometimes, I don't know if you've seen this TV show on TV where the guys be panhandling and stuff, walk around the corner, they got a Mercedes 500. They got Mercedes Benz, begging from you. And I couldn't even believe it. I thought that was a fake show. That's real. People will swindle you, hustle you, and just because that's the easy way to do it, scammers. Scam you out your hard-earned money. And people don't have no problem, but the Bible has already told you that these people exist. They would rather beg than work. And if a man don't work, he should not eat. He should not eat. But it also says if he ain't going to work, he will steal. He will steal. Last verse, Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 through 18. God gives wisdom. And what it is here that Paul desires, that believers grow in spiritual maturity. And what does the verse say? Verse 15, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because these days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine in its dispensation, which is the squandering of things, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. We're going to have to talk about the wine thing another day, but I do want you to understand what the scripture is saying. It says, do not act as fools. Walk righteously, because the God is redeeming the time. God is tallying it up. God is putting people back in the place that they should be. And when their time is up, when their time is up, and they don't have any more, they got to go back. They got to go back to the source. So when your time is up on this place, which you should be rejoicing, because all this place ain't nothing but hurt, harm, and danger. When your time is up and you are able to be able to go back to the source, you should be rejoicing. Because the Bible already said these days are evil. This was written by Paul 2,000 years ago, and these days are evil. Every day. You got war, you got rumors of war. You got money.